Tom, you had reported earlier this week that Nurse and the Oilers were closing in on that contract, and lo and behold, it became official today. And really, a market that literally changed probably $1 million in 2 months for sure, because in May people were projecting $8 million for guys like Dougie Hamilton and Nurse, and now they're at 9 and all the way up to 9.5 in the case of Seth Jones. So it's very, I'm trying to think the last time I saw a market jump up that much in a short period of time for defensemen.
Yeah, big thank you to the Chicago Blackhawks, and Seth Jones I think is what Darnell Nurse and his camp are thinking. And no, putting me on the spot like that, Greg, I can't recall either, and I'm sure we're going to get people texting in and they'll point it out where it jumped up like that, but totally realistic. There were texts coming in earlier in the day on the Dave Jamieson show saying, hey, what would this have looked like even 3 weeks ago? So totally understandable.
The market couldn't sign it 3 weeks ago. And that's the funny thing.
And that's a good point. But, you know, if you're saying, like, what did it look like leading up to this, and you already brought that up, and here they are in a situation, the Oilers are, where they bridged Darnell Nurse, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, gave him the extension. That was a lightning rod for discussion and debate, arguments back and forth. People didn't necessarily love it. They heard, you know, $6 million at the time, and they're like, no way, you can't pay Darnell Nurse that. And he was just getting better and hitting his stride. The defensive game wasn't there. The offense was starting to show up. He was behind Oscar Klefbom, obviously. And then all of a sudden, Klefbom's out of the picture. Nurse gets trust from the coaching staff, confidence in his game. It evolves to a certain point where he's elevated himself. He bets on himself and cashes in, takes advantage of the situation. And here we are, 9.25 with an 8-year extension. And it's a hefty price to pay. And the market has completely changed over the last, you know, couple of deals to the point where this is the reality that the Oilers are dealing with.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So joined by Tom Guzzola, like, that's the price. That's the price you have to pay. Just look around the league. Now, you might not like it. And, yeah, it would be better if it was $1.5 million less or whatever. But you say that about every contract, you know, except for Connor and Draisaitl. I think you can say that about every contract. Yeah, just because, not that you don't want the player to get the money, Tom. It's that you want to have more money to be flexible. So when I'm looking at the Oilers' cap situation for next summer, I don't see a lot of flexibility in there. You know, Mikko's deal comes off, but that money will go to Nurse. And I hope Puljujärvi has a great year and scores 20, 25 goals. And they have to now pay him, you know, more in line with whatever that standard is, more than, what is he at, 1.3 or whatever, so right now. So, you know, not to have to go all in this year, but I think they'll take a step this year, another step, get in the top 10. But I don't know if they can really make much of a jump next year because they got to find a goalie. But where do they get the cap space for it? Like, it's an interesting position they're in because the cap's not going up. That, as far as, you know, Frank Saravalli, you know, Gregor's a friend at Daily Faceoff there, kind of has outlined.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, Frank kind of outlined what, about $1 million a year maybe for the next few years till 2026, 2027, which even surprised me. And I know that's a fear study that some front offices have had, that this might be a flat cap for a lot longer than anticipated after COVID initially hit. And, you know, looking at the numbers when the deal was announced, I think Puckpedia had it updated to somewhere around the $7 million range. And then if you consider Klefbom's four, it gets bumped up closer to the $12 million range. And if Puljujärvi does have a really strong season, who's to say he can't put up 20 goals, 20 assists, 40 plus points, 100%. Which I think that's a pretty easy bar and respectable bar, attainable bar to get to. He'll want to bump up. But then outside of that, I think McLeod is the other RFA on the list. And there was one other name out there. But the goaltending situation absolutely has to be improved. I think it's going to be an ongoing task. I think it's something that Ken Holland's going to be looking at day in and day out and looking for opportunities to find someone to improve the goaltending situation. And then free agency-wise, who knows what's going to be out there and where this team kind of fits in and looks like, how much closer, like you said, it gets to being a contender this upcoming season. There's a lot of hockey left to be played, but from this point looking forward, you look at it and go, okay, maybe a little less wiggle room because of this deal now. But if they have to, you can always shed contracts, even though it's hard and it comes with a steep price. We've witnessed a bunch of tap dancing, cap exercises and flexibility that GMs have worked with over the last year. And cap gymnastics is the proper term, pardon me. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. But let's see where it goes. There's tons of hockey to be played.
The contract, either you're going to like it or you're going to dislike it. I know Rashog brought up, well, what if they would have waited? To me, they're waiting till next offseason. There is no reward to wait. None. The risk is that Darnell Nurse is like, I'll just go to free agency. See ya. Mm-hmm. Just like Adam
Starting
Larson
over.
Did. Yeah. So, because at best, if Darnell Nurse, slips back a little bit, like his points the last years, his points per 60, and you can't say games just because they've had, uneven amount of games. So you got to go points per minute played. 1.04, 1.14, 1.19 at 5-on-5. That's a study. So let's say he drops back to 1.10. Like, how much of a discount is he getting? You're not getting a massive drop off anyway. So maybe he's what, 8.5, 8.4? You're going to risk it that he could just walk, give you the bird, and walk away for that? Because the ultimate is, what if he continues to play well or improve? Because he's only 26 and he's improved every year of his career so far. And then you got to pay him $10 million. Like, there was no benefit to not sign him now. There's really none. Like, they had no other option at this point.
His comparables in terms of his peers too, Gregs, don't you think they would probably be the same players he's being compared to right now as well? Even if he took, let's say, a small step back in his production, points per 60 and all of that, I think that his camp would be saying, listen, he's of the same age. He brings you this. Look what he did over the last few years. Hypothetically, if he had a tougher year, it didn't go as well offensively in the upcoming season, his camp would make the argument, well, look at his body of work over the last 4 years. This is the type of defenseman he is. He's in his prime. He's going to bounce back. That's the arguments that probably would be made if it went down that road. On top of that, the idea kind of hoping maybe for a regression, I don't like that concept in general, like betting against your own guy just so you don't pay him more. I understand where the thought is coming from, but it comes with negativity, doesn't it? Like, there's been instances where, teams, GMs haven't put a guy out in the past because he was going to hit a certain bonus. It's happened in football. It's happened in baseball. It happened in hockey. So I just don't like – I don't think it breeds good – juju, if you will, for a guy if like all of a sudden the team is against the player and they don't want him to hit certain thresholds and point levels, like that creates a negativity that could be underlying as well and could go into a negotiation, if you will, and that might motivate a guy to say, you know what, guys, thanks for having me, I'm gonna go make bank with the team that appreciates me and puts trust and faith in me. You guys just spent the year hoping that I didn't do well. Again, this is a hypothetical, but that's happened in the past too. So I understand where people are going with the whole, well, what if he took a step back and you waited, you didn't have to pay him that extra mil and a half. Yeah, but then you're betting against your guy. Are you actively trying to put him down so you're not paying him the next year? How does that affect the team? There could be all kinds of negative possibilities with that. And I know I'm going down a crazy road here, but it's something that's existed and has happened before.
Not that crazy. I'm about to get crazy as we're joined by Tom Gazzola here, talking all things NHL and Oilers and the extension that just signed with Darnell Nurse for north of $9 million. Okay, so I don't feel the Oilers really have any wiggle room cap-wise until two summers from now. Lucic 750 comes off, 1.5 for Sakaris, that's 2.5. And then Duncan Keith's money comes off. I hope, that. So if you add all that up, that's at, let's call it $7.7 million. So that's quite a bit of money. I wonder if the Oilers aren't banking by that time, Samarkov or Broberg can push up into one of those spots. And then for next summer, do you think there's a chance they're hoping one of their young goalies can step in and take one of this, take the goalie spot over? Because Stalock will be gone, Mikko will be gone. Or is that just too wishful thinking when they're trying to cobble together a team? Because you got to have that youth coming up playing for cheap.
Yeah, And I think Skinner right now is probably the front runner, just given the fact that he's been in the system the longest and had another strong year last year, so maybe a bit ahead of Konovalov. And at some point, Struds, like what kind of goalie are we looking at in realistic terms for the Oilers? Someone that'll kind of bridge the gap, right, to potentially one of those guys. And yeah, Skinner, if he does take the next step, winds up in a backup role, let's say, and then eventually shows that he can handle more of a workload, that's probably still a couple years down the road, and he's probably not demanding mega bucks at that point in his career. So you're kind of hoping for the best in that scenario. Is it a bit rushed? Potentially, but guys can take big jumps. Now, you would probably have a better understanding on the back end if Broberg, Samarukov will be ready to command bigger minutes, let's say in a second pairing type situation at that point. That might be a little bit early, no? Because, I mean, how many years into Bouchard are we? And he's just about to become an everyday defenseman.
Yeah, well, Greg has said it before. Like, he's like, you can't have all young defensemen. And I completely agree with him. There's no doubt about it. But I'm just trying to fit the pieces together cap-wise. Like, I'm trying to, you know, the GMs always have it on their wall. You know, this is our team. This is what the future looks like. This is what is coming. And when you sit down and try to put the pieces together cap-wise, like, there's got to be somewhere where there's some give. And, you know, I'm not looking forward to 700 or whatever is 800 days from now when Keith's contract's off the books. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just looking for where there's a break in the system, right? Where there's all of a sudden something that maybe slides off and who could potentially fill those spots. So, you know, could you be looking at, you know, if Broberg is the guy, listen, I haven't seen him play, you know, just small amounts. But if a guy that can skate and move like that and get the puck around much, you know, and kind of get up like Darnell the way he covers ice and skates, and a guy that can really eat minutes, and you got Bouchard on the other side. You know, Tyson Berry's there for 3 years. And then, you know, it's somewhere they got to get some youth coming in that can contribute. Mm-hmm. And so I was just kind of making notes saying that something kind of jumped in my head. And again, no guarantee here, but you know, when you're going to be up against the cap without an up cap, you know, $1 million does help, yes, but $1 million doesn't get you a $5 million goalie.
No, that's true. And Gregor said it earlier in the show too, is like, they're going to have to get creative and probably do it via trade. I mean, I don't think they're going to go out there and buy a goalie unless someone comes up that just emerges as a can't miss netminder, but I don't think that guy's out there, as, again, Greg's alluded to.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, free agency, most times you have to overpay. Most times. So I'm not, you know, they've got a hope that one of their young guys develops, like a lot of other teams do. Otherwise, you know, maybe you can find a goalie that you can trade for who comes here and, you know, is better, you get them at the right time. But I just, to me, that's a separate, you can't say, well, we're going to try to, you know, grind Darnell Nurse out, who plays the most minutes on our team, right? Who's easily our most important defender, who played like a top pairing defender, who played like a number one defender, has improved every year of his career. And you, like, there's certain guys, hey, you know what? They probably should have played more hardball with Zach Kassian. I have no doubt in my mind about that. Darnell Nurse is the third most important player on your team. So, you know, he's one of the main guys. And it just seems like in Edmonton, for some reason, people don't want to admit that Darnell Nurse is good. And I don't really understand it. Right? Like, because the argument is, well, look at his numbers away from McDavid. So you mean on, like, the worst bottom six in the NHL, he had bad numbers? Huh. Shocking. Like, what? Like, and he also produces more with McDavid than Klefbom ever did, than Ethan Bear ever did, than Nugent Hopkins did. So if you have a guy that you know produces well with your best player, and now they're under contract for 5 years, why is that a problem? Like, what am I missing?
No, and you said it too, and this has come up before. There's nothing wrong with having too much of a good thing. There's nothing wrong with having a bunch of good defensemen. Yeah, they might cost you a bit. But too much of a good thing leads to success generally. And then adding to that, going back a little bit to the goalie situation, what if this team does take that next step, guys, and the group in front of the goalies is pretty darn good defensively, offensively, special teams-wise, that it creates a bit of a buffer and insulation for a younger goalie to kind of emerge and play comfortably? Who would have known Vitek Vanecek going into last season, right? all of a sudden he became a bit of a commodity. He gets bounced between Seattle and Washington. Washington wants him back. They pay a price to get him back. Nedeljkovic, who would have thought that he would be a guy that would be coveted and up for the Calder? So those were guys that played on good teams, and you know there probably was some wiggle room for them to make mistakes. And if the Oilers become a good enough team in front of their goalies that it potentially could create the scenario where a Skinner or a Konovalov, whoever is ready, gets a chance and they can make their mistakes but still win games, still be a competitive team, that would be a good scenario to see as well.
Tommy, quickly, actually, no, we got to go. We're way late. We'll go to a break. You have yourself a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good weekend.